my name is Brenda Brim-Kruko, and we welcome you to Voice of One Witness. And yesterday we were talking with my brother Terry about what this country was founded upon and the foundation of our country and rekindling those fires. The blood of the martyrs, the blood of the Revolutionary War, and all the other soldiers that have shed their blood for their freedoms and for freedoms of other lands. The blood speaks. And so today I'm going to talk about an awakening a little bit, the aspects of an awakening. And then I'm going to start with the assignment that the Holy Spirit gave my mother, Billy Brim, in 2009 of June. And it was about One Thing Will Save America. It is not an election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is not an election. It is an awakening to God. And in this assignment, this big, huge assignment, not huge, but this long-term assignment, there were many assignments that the Lord gave us to do. And one of these that he gave was to pray for our leaders. And so just as Hannah prayed for a leader, and, you know, Billy has talked about that many times. And as I was meditating and waiting on the Lord, I felt in my spirit the Lord wanted us to pray today in prayer, it was on Wednesday's prayer, today's Friday, to pray for the spiritual leaders of America. And I was reminded of Tommy Hicks' vision. And in that vision, if you want to contact our ministry at billybrim.org, it's on the website and you can find it on there. But it is a vision that he had, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was 1960, and it was the body, actually I just found it, and it was the body of Christ. He had it, actually it was July 25th, 1961, and he had it three times. And that confirms, you know, three times is a confirmation. And he saw the ministry, the body of Christ, as a big giant and waking up. And he saw light. And it's very, and it talks about the power of God and this last end time move of the Lord. And I said, Lord, what does that have to do with what I'm, you know, what I feel impressed about corporate and prayer? And leaders. What does that have to do about the leaders in prayer? And then I was reminded that Tommy Hicks was used of the Lord for the end time, or for the Argentina revival. And we have a book about that if you want to contact the ministry. And they had been praying for several years. And the Lord used his servant, Tommy Hicks. He told him that to go to Argentina, and that there was this man named Perón. He didn't know that he was actually the leader of the country. And when he was on the plane on his way to Argentina, he asked the stewardess, "Who's Perón? He's going to help me. He's a key to unlocking, to spread the gospel." And they said, "I don't think so. He's communist." But what happened was the Lord opened the door. He pray for Perón, who had a skin disease. He was healed. He opened the whole country, the soccer stadium, everything, and it was a huge revival. And so I saw that God has sparks, and that I saw the sparks are, a lot of them are the spiritual leaders. And if not all, that spark the five, that spark this awakening. And so here was this spark, Tommy Hicks. First there was the prayer, then the spark, and then we have the Argentina revival. And the same thing happened with what is called the Lewis revival. There were two little old ladies. One, they were not even able to get out of their home. They weren't capable. They were in bad shape in the natural. One was blind and one had arthritis, but they prayed constantly. And the Lord showed them for several years. And the Lord showed them that Duncan Campbell, who was a minister, was to come to their island and they would have an awakening or a revival, whatever you want to call it. It was actually what an awakening. It went through all the countryside. Revival is usually just in the church. So anyway, they wrote a letter. They had they were very well respected. People knew they were women of God. And they said, write a letter. And they wrote a letter. And he wrote back and said he was not able to come. And they told those women that. And they said, but God says otherwise. And he will be here in a fortnight. And so he was at other meetings. And the Lord prompted, the Holy Spirit prompted in him to go. And he did. And he was there 10 days at the meeting. And not a lot went on. After 10 days, there was the power, the presence of God came. And he stayed there for 2 years. So let me just talk a little bit about that revival and about what took place. And on the internet, there was a man named, and he's a very well-respected man. His name is Dr. J. Edwin, Edwin, or ORR. And Billy Graham, this is what Billy Graham said about him. Quote, Dr. J. Edwin Orr, in my opinion, is one of the greatest authorities on the history of religious revivals in the Protestant world. I think that God has given him one of the greatest and most unique ministries anywhere in the nation. I know of no man who has a greater passion for worldwide revival or a greater love for the souls of men. And then F.F. Bruce wrote, some men read history, some write it, and others make it. So far as the history of religious revivals is concerned, J. Edwin Orr belongs to all three categories. And on his website, which is www.jedwinorr.com, you can download all of what I'm reading to you. And the Lewis Revival, the Lewis Awakening is what he calls it, which it was an awakening, 1949 through 1953. And a couple things that he says about it that is so, so interesting. Let's see here. He talks about, for one thing, the converts, 75% of them were not in the streets, were not in the churches. They were in the hills. They were in the taverns. They were in their homes. They were not in the churches. And he talks about how many of the prayer meetings were held in churches and cottages, and frequently the small hours of the morning found the parish ministers and his faithful few pleading the promises with a consciousness of God and with a confidence in him that caused hope to his word. They had possessed a conviction that God, being a covenant-keeping God, would keep his promised, his covenant engagements. And then there was a manifestation of God demonstrating the reality of the divine in operation. When men would be forced to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is not, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In the month of December 1949, God did visit the parish church of Barvis, which that's the Lewis Awakening, with a blessing that in a very short time leapt the bounds of the parish, bringing refreshing and spiritual life to many all over the island. Praise God. The supernatural working of God, the Holy Spirit, and revival is something that no man can fully describe, and it is a folly to attempt it. There are, however, features of the Lewis Revival which are characterized revivals of the past. Here I found a group of men who seemed to be living on the high plane of implicit confidence in God, that was the conviction and assurance that breathed in every prayer offered in those memorable times, and my first contact. Here is a scene witnessed during the days of the movement. A crowded church. The service is over. The congregation, reluctant to disperse, stand outside the church in silence. There is tense. Suddenly, a cry is heard within. A young man burdened for the souls of his fellow man is pouring out his soul in intercession. He prays until he falls into a trance, and he lies prostrate on the floor of the church. But heaven had heard, and the congregation, moved by a power that they could not resist, came back into the church, and a wave of conviction of sin swept over the gathering, moving strong men to cry out to God for mercy. This service continued until the small hours of the morning, but so deep was the distress and the hunger which gripped men and women that they refused to go home. An interesting and amazing feature of this early morning visitation was the number who made their way to the church. Moved by a power that they had not experienced before, others were deeply convicted of their sin and crying for mercy in their homes before ever coming near the church. This happened today at Wednesday at our prayer meeting. We had the Lord had showed one of the women that today in the prayer meeting, you are going to see something that you've never seen before. And sure enough, on one of our most quiet men, who I've never known to say one word publicly in our group, and who, you know, very quiet man, a power of intercession came on him. And there was a woman who had a granddaughter who was in a very serious situation. And the power of compassion and intercession came upon him. And he wept before the Lord. And the power and the anointing was so strong in our prayer group. And we joined in with him. But then as he prayed that through, there came such a joy. And the presence of God even became stronger and stronger. And the woman raised her hands and was laughing in the spirit and praising God for the healing, knowing the healing of her granddaughter. It was beautiful to see. And as I share these things that happened long ago, but it doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his movings are much the same way. And he moves in prayer, and he moves in intercession as we give ourselves to him. And so back to hearing the voice of the Lord and giving yourself in your prayer life, hearing ear, your hearing heart. And when he speaks to you, when he inclines you to pray, to give yourself to those things, we want to thank you for joining us. One thing will save America, and it is not the elections. One thing will save Israel and the nations, and it is not the, it is an awakening to God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom. I love you guys, and have a great week. Amen.